either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi'idhnihi wa sirajan munira. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Subhan rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ اللهم صلي على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صلي على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صلي على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, Inshallah ta'ala, in our session tonight, we will continue with our seerah program, in which, alhamdulillah, an explanation is given that our beloved Nabi, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the greatest role model for all of humanity, and especially in this modern era. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest leader. And in the last two sessions, we compared Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a way that what makes him very, very unique. In fact, there is no one that can be compared to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so just to continue, inshallah, this will be our third session. From the last session, just to quickly recap, the difference between Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a leader and the leaders that have come in this dunya. Number one, the leaders of this dunya have been elected. The leaders of this world have been elected. And so some of them have been elected, and some of them have put themselves into that position forcefully as dictators. But as for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was selected. Allah's Nabi is selected. Selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what makes him unique is that every other leader is fallible. Every other leader is fallible. Everyone has got shortcomings. They will make lots of mistakes in their lives. But as for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi is ma'asoom and infallible. And therefore everything and every decision of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very, very unique. That is why you will see that the world leaders, when you actually look into their lives, there is a stigma that is attached. Many of them will have cheated. Many of them will have murdered innocent people, looted. Many of them would have had illicit relationship affairs and all sorts that you hear of. But as for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the title that was given to him, Sadiqul Ameen. What is the title? Sadiqul Ameen. And everything that ushered from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of his guidance, every order, every ruling, every injunction that comes from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find that there is guidance. There is guidance. And it is very, very unique. Ulama have mentioned that every order that comes from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, number one, it is based upon i'tidal. It is based upon i'tidal. I'tidal means moderation. So Islam is a religion of complete moderation. Shariat does not trespass, or should I say, does not exceed the limits, the boundaries. So everything in Islam you will see, there is complete moderation. Subhanallah al-Azim. Namaz, not 50, how many?
Five.
Musa alayhi salam, we know. In the time of Jahiliyyah, one man would marry 50, 60, 70 women. Shariat came and said maximum how much?
Four.
Everything that you look into Islam is of balance. Zakat, only how much? 2.5%. Can you imagine? £1,000, £25. Subhanallah. Fasting only 30 days. 11 months you can eat, you can drink, you can enjoy whatever you want to do. But only 1 month, and that is also during the daytime. So Islam, everything about Islam is about complete moderation. No laws of Islam can be considered to be as very, very extreme. Subhanallah. And number two, every order that is given by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his command, his sunnah, you will find that Islam preserves fitrat. Islam preserves nature. Islam preserves nature. Every ruling does not go against nature. Everything that is decent, you will also find in Islam. It does not go against nature. When you look at cleanliness, circumcision, when you go to the toilet, Shariat says, the fitrat is to use water. How do you clean your body naturally from hygiene? Is you use water, mashallah. Wudu, water. Ghusl also, water. When you do istinja, Shariat says you can't stand and urinate. Sit and urinate. Unless, of course, there is a need. Shariat gives you that permission. But generally, the ruling is that you sit and urinate. Everything, fitrat. Shariat says a man can marry a woman. Jazakallah. It takes very long for you to say that. A man can get married to a woman. Fitrat by, what is it? Fitrat. How can a man get married to a man? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And how can a woman get married to a woman? Tawba, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So Shariat does not tamper with nature. Sharia does not tamper with nature. You will find that. Even when it comes to the food that you eat, Islam says eat food that is tayyib. One is halal, but one is tayyib. Tayyib means that which is pure. So you don't start eating, you know, snakes and crocodiles and things like that. Eat food that is tayyib. Clean, pure. According to fitrat, blood is haram. All the filth in an animal is also haram. So you will find that every hukam of Sharia, it is balanced. It's got moderation. It has got fitrat. Nature is preserved inside it. And number three, aysari ahkam. It means that Islam is designed in such a way for a human being to make his life comfortable. To make his life comfortable. So Shariat will tell you that you also have to work, you also have to earn, you also have to look after your children, you also have to look after your family, you also have to be educated, you also have to do the chores of this dunya. At the same time, you also have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But subhanallah, you see the balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this deen in such a way that everything can be carried out. Everything can be performed. Every hukam of Shariat is at ease. That is why, even if Shaitan tells you, I said this in the last example, that you are praying Salat somewhere, and he tells you that maybe there's a possibility, this place where you're praying Salah, there is no Musalla, and it might be Napak, impure. Sharia tells you no. That place is only Pak. What is it? Only Pak. Unless there is evidence that clearly will prove to you that this place is impure, otherwise this place will be considered as Pak. There is no water, tayammum. There is every ease. You're traveling, you can even combine your prayers, according to many of the scholars. And so you will find that Shariat is designed in such a way that, mashallah, there is only ease. There is only ease. Number four, you will find that whatever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, there is also complete freedom in the religion of Islam. So even if somebody who was not a Muslim came to live in an Islamic khilafat, for an example, in a Muslim country, he will be given the complete freedom to practice his religion. Freedom of speech is also there. Provided you don't lie, it is not a slander, you are not accusing somebody falsely, and the news that is transmitted has to be accurate. And also the fact that you have to honor the person that is around you. Respect should be given to him. So there is complete freedom also in Islam. Islam does not say that you remain in atiqaf all the time and you don't work and you can't enjoy in Islam. No, no. Mashallah. You can go out with your family for a holiday. Go, enjoy. Islam gives you that freedom. Halaluhu halal wa haramuhu haram. That however you can enjoy in the halal way, it is halal. And to enjoy in the haram way, that is obviously going to be haram, whether you are in or out, wherever you are. So that freedom is also given in Islam. These are, alhamdulillah, when it comes to the rulings and the orders that we see, the ahkam given by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that everything about Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is very, very unique. Now, scholars have also mentioned that the protocol of his guidance, what was the protocol of his guidance? The protocol of his guidance is very simple. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, that the one who is the most pious amongst you, the most pious amongst you, is the one who is the most God-fearing. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah does not look at your skin color. Allah does not look at your tribe, your mother tongue, your ethnicity, your nationality. Allah does not look at your wealth. Allah does not look at anything. But whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, whether you're a young individual, an old individual, the guidance of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is based upon the fact that the more taqwa you have, the closer you will be with whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what he said to the people. And that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Bilal, that Bilal, when Allah had gifted me this mu'jiza of Mi'raj, I heard your footsteps in Jannat. I heard your footsteps in Jannat. Subhanallah. Who was Bilal? Bilal was someone who people would disregard. He was an Abyssinian slave. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke to him so people understand, never mind your wealth, never mind your skin color, never mind your nationality, never mind your tribe, never mind your ethnicity, never mind who you are. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The one who is the most muttaqi is the one who is close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When you look into the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you will find many people who question the fact that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam also entered the battlefield. He also entered the battlefield. Now for us to understand that, if we divide the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in two parts, most of his life was in the city of Makkah, in the city of Makkah. And the last 10 years or a bit more was in the city of Madinah Munawwara. His entire life in Makkah Mukarrama, not a single battle took place with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But when he migrated to Madinah Munawwara, all the battles that the Quran speaks of is all in the city of Madinah Munawwara. Now Madinatul Munawwara becomes the capital for the Muslims. So the battles that take place in Madinatul Munawwara are battles in which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had to defend his city. So it was about a defensive mode, not an offensive mode. Allah's Nabi did not fight the people in Makkah. He did not fight the people in Makkah. But when Allah had given him the city of Medina, and when all the people of Madinatul Munawwara, the Ansar, said that this city is your city and this becomes Darul Islam, the capital, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to live in this city peacefully with the people, but the mushrikeen of Makkah did not allow him to come, and they would come with an army from Makkah to launch an attack at Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now just to give you the statistics, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is rahmatul lil alameen. What is he? Rahmatul lil alameen. If you look into all of the battles that have taken place in the lifetime of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which he participated, and also in which he personally was not part of that battle. He did not participate. In total, there are 82 battles. How many? 82 battles. So this also includes, sometimes there was a mission that was sent by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So a few companions went here, a few companions went there. So historians have recorded 82 in total. How many? 82 battles in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. With 82 battles, how many people do you think were killed in 82 battles? So for an example, if I tell you in World War One, how many people were killed? 400,000, 500,000, isn't that the case, Shabir bhai? Or is it much more than that? Is it more? Millions. Millions? Okay, millions. In World War One, millions. What about in World War Two? World War Two? Vietnam, all these wars, many, many people were killed, yes? We agree to that. This is something that we know of. World War One, World War Two. Now we are talking about 83 battles. How many battles? 83 battles. How strict Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, when a soldier would enter the battlefield, the conditions for him to fight, and what he taught the companions, that who you should fight. It is said that less than 1,000 people were killed. How many? In 83 battles, how many? Less than 1,000 people. And the scholars have mentioned that in the 23 years, that means the 23 years from 40 to 63, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given Nabuwat, wherever Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'in went, there is not a single recording that any of the Muslim soldiers had ever raped a lady. Had ever raped a lady. And you will find that whenever There is a war, battlefield, subhanallah, all sorts of things happen. What is it? All sorts of things happen, but not with the Muslims. That was never the case. Less than 1,000 people had died. That is why if you look at Fath Makkah, when Makkah Mukarramah was conquered, you know, people were so scared. People thought that half of Arabia and the tribes, most of them will be killed because of what they did to the Muhajireen and what they did to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But that was never the case. So when you look at the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is very much ajeeb. And the reason why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam also entered the battlefield was to show people that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the greatest leader. What was he? He was the greatest leader. Even in the battlefield, he was the greatest leader. That is why if you look at Isa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam is the Nabi of Allah, but Isa alayhi salam did not enter into jihad. Isa alayhi salam did not enter into jihad. He did not have a group of people that were fighting. He did not have an army as such. He did not have a kingdom. Subhanallah. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the greatest Nabi. Nabuwat, responsibility as a Nabi was given to him. And also as a great leader, every responsibility was given to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so he governed by the fact that everyone should realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. In akramakum indallahi atqakum. This was something very, very important. There is an incident of an Englishman, and this is mentioned in some of the kitabs, that an Englishman was climbing the stairs of Jamia Masjid to visit Jamia Masjid. And so as he was climbing up the masjid, his wallet fell out from his pocket. Wallet fell out from his. So there was this Muslim man who was a faqir. Muslim man who was the faqir. He saw this Englishman. This Englishman was a rich man. Wallet fell out. So he quickly got hold of that wallet and he took it. And he noticed that there was also a lot of money inside the wallet. So now with the wallet, he was very, very happy. Very, very happy. That is why we say that bayans are very important. Bayans are very important. These lectures, you cannot put a price tag. You cannot put a, because it is life changing. What is it? Life changing. Subhanallah. People who have never prayed namaz started praying namaz. People who never knew of tahajjud started praying tahajjud. People who would never read durood sharif became sahibe durood. People who never had a beard started growing a beard. People who did not know sunnah started. So this man who was a faqir, he had a lot of money now in his pocket. So he decided that, look, what should I do? So in the Jamia Masjid, Imam Sahib was giving a bayan. So a thought came in his mind that, you know what, I've never sat for the bayan, you know, I've got enough money today. So let me sit in the bayan. Let me sit in the... So he, mashallah, sat in the bayan. Now the Imam Sahib was saying, he was talking about the day of Qiyamah. So he said that on the day of Qiyamah, this ummah will be under the banner of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This ummah will be under the banner of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But for a person to be under the banner of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, these are the requirements. These are the requirements. And he heard the bayan. After 1 week, he was sitting at, again, towards where the stairs are for the Jamia Masjid. And he noticed that Englishman also climbing up the stairs, going towards the Jamia Masjid. So he quickly went to this Englishman and he said that last week you came, you dropped your wallet and I have saved your wallet here with me. This is your wallet. This is your batwa. So he said, are you sure you haven't taken any money? So he says, no. I know there's a lot of money inside this wallet. This was my intention to take and use the money. But I have not used anything. This is all how you left it. That is how I am giving it back to you now. So this man, Englishman, said that, why do you want to return it to me? What changed your mind? So he says, when I took your wallet, I sat in the majlis, I sat in the bayan, and the Imam Sahib was talking that I am the ummati of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and for me to be under the banner of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the day of Qiyamah, there are certain requirements. There are certain things that I have to do. So he said, I am giving you this wallet. Why? Because on the day of Qiyamah, you will be under the banner of Jesus. You are a Christian. So you will be under the banner of Isa alayhi salam. And I will be under the banner of my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If I take this money, your wallet, I don't want your Nabi, the one who you follow as whatever he follows as a Christian, I don't want your Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wassalam to complain to my Nabi that your ummati had stolen some money from my ummati, and this would give a lot of pain to my Nabi. And this would give a lot of pain to my Nabi. And this I will never do. I will never want to give pain to my Nabi. Now, he was a simple man, and this is what he understood. But subhanallah, immediately you see what happens, that there is a change. What is there? A change. And change will only come, my respected brothers, when we are prepared to listen to the Quran and prepared to listen to the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the foundation of my guidance is based upon one very important principle, and that is the one who is Allah conscious. He is the one who is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can be anyone. You know, you don't have to be an alim, you don't have to be a hafiz of the Quran, you don't have to be a qari. You can be a simple man, but in everything what you do in your mind, you are thinking that my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me, and therefore everything what I should do should be right. Everything what I do should be right. This energy, this strength we should have, my respected brothers. Especially when we are alone, you have your mobile phone. The shaitan puts waswasa in your mind. Watch this, watch this. And all of these things may be haram. All of these things may make you feel guilty. You might enjoy it for the half an hour, for 15 minutes, 20 minutes. You are in your bedroom, sleeping. The Wi-Fi is switched on. There is no one there, nor your father, nor your mother, no one. And you have access to your iPad and your mobile phone, and the shaitan is now telling you, whispering, Yaar, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. A Muslim should have that much of strength, that taqwa, that understanding, that if nobody is watching me, then I fear my Allah. Then I fear my Allah. What will happen? This will only harm you. This will only harm you. If you are watching the wrong things, then that love that you have for your wife will become weak. You will not appreciate your wife. You will never appreciate any woman in your life. Why? Because now your mind is running in such a way that you want everyone else. You want every other lady. You want to listen to other things. You want to see other things. So Shariat, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, the training that is given should be given in such a way that all the time he should think that my Allah is watching me. My Allah is watching me. Now what makes Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam also very, very unique, my respected brothers, that every leader that has come in this world has given false promises. Has given? What about Brexit that we know of? You know, we were so happy. Bichari ye Theresa May pagal ho gayi hogi. You know, every time you switch on the radio, it's Theresa May, and I don't know, you know, what is happening to this lady. So, subhanAllah, they all thought that, you know what, the only one thing that the Brits were concerned is that we will get rid of all these illegal people that are coming in our country. And who is going to do your labor work? This is also a question. So get rid of all these people, but it is backfiring now. What is it doing now? Backfiring. Ab ye takabbur insan ka toot gaya. Now you're wondering, what are we going to do? All the leaders that have come have given false promises. Oh, when we come, this is what we will do. When we come, this is what we will do. When we come, this is what we will do. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his entire life, every promise was fulfilled. Every promise was fulfilled. Just to give you one example, that even when he migrated from Makkah to Medina, if he wanted to use this as an excuse that the people of Makkah have plundered the wealth of my followers, my Muhajirin companions, they have taken everything from my Muhajirin who have now migrated to Medina Munawwara. I have got their amanat. They gave the amanat to who? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for safekeeping. If Allah's Nabi even thought in this way, that, you know, their amanat that I have, why should I give it to them when they have taken everything from my companions? So I am not going to return the amanat to them. Their dinars, their dirham, their documents, whatever I have, I will keep it with me. But he did not do that. Allahu Akbar. Even at that moment, when they were hunting down every Muslim, and every Muslim at that time was killed, he left his son-in-law, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, on his bedding, and said to him, Ali, you stay here to return the amanat to the owners. To return the amanat to the owners. Imagine that. Every promise was fulfilled. Everything. In fact, every prophecy. He said the Persian Empire will come down. It will crumble down. It will no longer be an empire. And this is what we see. Persia came down. He said the Romans will be defeated. They were defeated. He said Constantinople, which is a stronghold for the Christians, Constantinople, the Muslims will take that, and that will become the capital. This also, the prophecy came true. So much so, that he said to his daughter, Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, that Fatima, after my departure from this dunya, the first person from my family to join me will be you. Can you imagine that? The first person from my family to join me will be you. Within 6 months, Bibi Fatima also passed away. Within 6 months. And so everything what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, subhanallah al-azim, 100% accurate. Every promise that he gave was fulfilled. And what is also very unique of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not only was he a great leader, but he also explained to people the concept of worship. The concept of how do you worship? How do you worship? SubhanAllah. He would teach people that you want to worship Allah. This is how you do qiyam. This is how you do ruku. This is how you do sajda. You put your nose, you put your forehead. This is what you do. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. This is when you want to fast, this is what you do. When you do hajj, this is what you have to do. When you do tawaf, this is how you do tawaf. When you're doing sa'i of Safa Marwa, this is how you do it. When you want to recite the Quran, this is what you do. Do wudu first and then you recite the Quran. How do you recite the Quran? Which surahs? How in salat? Which surahs are we to read? Everything Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught. Everything. Not only is he a great leader, not only something that has got to do with this dunya, but also with akhirat. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had explained to the people how a person can worship. Now there is one amazing ayat of the Quran. And for many months, when I looked at this tafsir, I was wondering that, alhamdulillah, many ulama have given many meaning to this tafsir, but the Quran is such that every time you read the Quran, it gives you an opening. It gives you an opening, an understanding of the Quran. So we have one chapter of the Quran, Surah Muddathir. Surah Muddathir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal Muddathir. O the one who has draped himself in this chadar, a mantle that he was wearing, this chadar of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muddathir. So he was wearing this chadar, these sheets to cover him. Allah said to him, Qum fa'anzir. O Muhammad, stand and warn the people. Wa rabbaka fakabbir. And pronounce the greatness of your Lord. Allah ki kibriyai bayan karo. Wa rabbaka fakabbir. Now in these ayats, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taught the importance of da'wah work. That give da'wah to people, kum fa'anzir, warn people. Wa rabbaka fakabbir, and at the same time also don't forget to worship Allah Pak. Pronounce the greatness of your Lord. And then the next verse of the Quran is, وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَاهِرْ وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَاهِرْ. Purify your clothes and also keep your clothes pak. Make sure that your clothes are also pure. Now, you wonder and you start thinking, what has keeping your clothes got to do with dawah work and this ibadat that Allah is saying also keep your clothes pak? Subhanallah, without wasting time, just for us to understand that you will find that in many nations, groups of people today, in many other religions, there is this concept that to become a holy person, a person who is pious, a holy man, and to show that you have renounced dunya, the more dirty you are, the more pious you are. What is it? The more dirty you are, the more pious you are. Have you heard of these Naga Babas in India? These dreadlocked sadhus. Allahu Akbar, dreadlock. And they have this, after, in 12 years, they have this massive, in their millions, they walk and they march to, I believe, Allahabad. Allahabad. And that is where they ijtima' is and all sorts they do. And they, and the filth that is there, you see the hair, and you see also the river Ganges and all that, it is supposed to be, you know, pure water for them, but you are there and sometimes dead bodies float up and all sorts of things. But in many communities and in nations, you will find the more filthy and dirty you are, the more your clothes smell and stink, it means he is a wali of Allah, Ali Azu Billah, that he has renounced the world. What has he done? Renounce the world. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching the ummah the concept of ibadat. That not for a minute no one in my ummah should take this stance. In fact, in Islam, the more clean you are, the more your clothes are pure and clean, the more beloved you are to Allah Pak. How beautiful is that? Subhanallah. How beautiful is that? That is why, you know, it's not about dressing up in a way that your clothes are not ironed and creased and how you are. This is not the right representation of a Muslim. وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَاهِرْ. And make your clothes pure and clean. Subhanallah al-Azim. And so everything in Islam, you see, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had explained everything. Even in something like i'tikaf, if there is a need for ghusl, then Shariat gives you permission to do ghusl. Subhanallah. Shariat tells you which part of the hair in the body you have to make sure that you will cut all the time. Or shave, whatever. Everything is there, my respected brothers. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is very, very unique. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught us everything. And what is also unique about Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what makes him unique from others? Any other world leader would like to take a shortcut, and they love cheating, imitating, plagiarism, to emulate another community and other people, and this would be something very, very straightforward. This is what people do. A lot of the times you'll find, you know, an essay you have to write, and this guy has been cheating. You know, paragraphs and paragraphs have been taken from another person, another writer. But when you look at Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his teachings are so different that he was not prepared to imitate or emulate or to have any kind of resemblance with any other religion. Now, just to give you an example, in world religions, the concept of worship is by closing your eyes. What is it? Closing your eyes. You close your eyes, and that is how they would pray. That is how you would pray. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not allow that for his followers. He did not even want to imitate other people in the manner they would worship. And he said that when you worship, make sure your eyes are open. Imagine that. When you worship, your eyes are. Have you seen, mashallah, the imams of Haram when they pray namaz? Have you seen it, mashallah? You see, don't you? When it is televised, sometimes you'll see on YouTube the imams praying. Apne dekha hai na? Do you see the eyes closed or open? Open. All the imams, what will they be? The eyes will be open. Generally, you'll find all the imams when they are leading, the eyes are open. Why? Because this is a very big sunnat. Allah's Nabi did not allow his ummah to follow. Did not allow his ummah to follow. Subhanallah al-Azim. And he said that when you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make sure your eyes are open. Make sure your eyes are open. And in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one ruling was for the Jewish people that it was haram for them to perform prayers with their footwear and slippers. With their footwear and slippers. This was their teachings. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam at times performed his salah also with his slippers. He performed his salah also with his slippers. Giving permission to his ummah that if need be, you are not like the Jewish community. We are very different. And we can also pray sometimes if there is a lot of rain. Sometimes it's very, very cold. And you are outside and your shoes are parked. Then you can pray namaz with your shoes on. You can pray your namaz with your... Did you know that? You know that? MashaAllah, he knew that. So you can pray. Otherwise, sometimes when you're praying with your shoes, people look at you, say... Oh, look at this man. How is he doing it? Subhanallah al-Azim. And then, Mushrikeen of Makkah. The Mushrikeen of Makkah. The Mushrikeen of Makkah, they were also doing tawaf of the Kaaba and they would also do Hajj. Because remember, Ibrahim alayhi salam used to live in Makkah Mukarrama. So this system of Hajj was already introduced. Although they were Mushrikeen, but they were keepers of the Kaaba, and they had the keys and everything. So they would also do Hajj. But Mushrikeen of Makkah, what they would say is that because we are elite people, the keepers of maintaining the city of Makkah and also the Kaaba, and we have the keys, when other people come for Hajj, they would also go to many other places like Mina, Muzdalifah and Arafah. Mushrikeen of Makkah, the citizens of Makkah, they would do Hajj, but out of pride they would say, we are different to the rest of the people. They never went for Arafat. They did not go to Arafat. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, the complete opposite. He said to the people, Hajj is Arafah. What did he say? The complete opposite. He said, Hajj is Arafah. In fact, if you don't go to Arafat, your Hajj is incomplete. Subhanallah. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very unique. And brothers, we need to appreciate the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today in the Jumu'ah, I'm not going to repeat everything what I had said. But I said, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. A person who resembles with any other community, then he is one from amongst them. And I had explained that there are four levels. The resemblance, one is haram. What is it? An example was given of that. Many examples. The second example was given that one which is of makruh tahrimi. So if you are resembling people, then one type is makruh tahrimi. One type is haram. And then the third type is makruh. What is it? And the fourth type is jais. I had explained which ones? Haram, makruh tahrimi and jais. What was left? Makruh. Now makruh is something also very important for us to understand. When you imitate or resemble to a group of people or participate or deal with people in that way, what is makruh? Just to give you one example, that in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for jihad, the Persians would also do bows. What is it? Bow and arrow. So they would also have their own bows. And these bows were from Persia. These bows were from Persia. And the Muslims were also making bows. What were they? Bows. Weapons they were making. Now, when you have Persians who are non-Muslims and they are also making bows, and also Muslims that are also making tirs, this bow, the ulama have mentioned that there are two things Muslims have to look at. That if the bows of the Muslims is not expensive and at a cheap price, affordable, what is it? Affordable. Affordable. And it is of the same quality. What is it? The same quality. So you have the Muslims that are doing something. And the price of it is the same and the quality is the same. And then you have someone who is not a Muslim and doing something that is the same. They were doing also weapons. And if the quality is the same and the pricing is also the same. Now Allah's Nabi is saying that, Fuqaha have mentioned from this hadith, that for a Muslim to buy things from the Muslims is better. And if he was to buy it from the non-Muslims, that would be considered as makruh. That would be considered as makruh. Baat samajh mein aayi hai? Why? Because you want to give that business to who? The person who is of iman. Of course, if that Muslim brother is ripping you off and selling you something, you know, at a price that you could buy something, three or four things extra, four items more than this, that is different. That is why with two conditions, quality and pricing. What is it? But is there, there's no difference between quality and pricing. Ulama, fuqaha have mentioned that a Muslim should have ghairat to buy also from his Muslim brother. So this also we need to understand, my brothers, that there are certain things that you can buy in your city, in every way you can. It is open. Remember I said makruh. Makruh doesn't mean haram. You can buy from everywhere. You can buy from everywhere. But to give support and finance to that person who shares your iman, the Quran that you read, the Allah that we worship, and on top of that, he will also give zakat. He will also give zakat. This is more preferable. What is it? More preferable. So alhamdulillah, with this we conclude, my respected brothers, from the seer of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just to look at different aspects of the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how our Nabi was so outstanding. How Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such a great leader. So that we should value the fact that we are the followers of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Ya Allah, ya Rahman, ya Rahim, is majlis ko kabul farma. Ey mere Allah, yahan naujawan bachche aaye hue hain, naujawan bachche yahan hain, ya Allah, burhe log bhi yahan hain, ya Allah, امت یہاں بیٹھی ہوئی ہے. یا اللہ ہماری حاجت کو قبول فرما. اللہ کریم ہمیں ہماری زندگی میں برکت دے. اللہ کریم ہماری اولاد ہماری آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک بن جائے. اللہ کریم ہمارے لیے رزق کے اسباب کھول دے. اللہ کریم ہمیں حرام سے بچا. اللہ کریم ہمارے ایمان کو تو مضبوط بنا. اللہ کریم ہم سب کا خاتمہ بالخیر فرما. اللہ کریم اسلام کا دروازہ اس ملک میں یورپ میں کھول دے. اللہ کریم جہاں مسلمان پریشان حال ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما. اللہ کریم جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا دے. اللہ کریم ہم سب کو مستجاب الدعوات میں سے بنا دے. وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلى آلہ واصحابہ وازواجہ وذریاتہ واہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.